Good morning, church. So hoping today's lesson is going to be in line with what Rex has been covering when he's been talking about the church in Acts and some of the things that Ken talked about in class today and what he talked about at the Lord's Supper last week about what God desires for us. But before we dive into the lesson today, I want to take us back. I want to take it back to a college engineering classroom at Iowa State University. That's where my first real sermon was born. Today we're going to go back to those roots and use that same concept. We're going to explore how physics, specifically statics and dynamics, offers a powerful metaphor for our walk with God and the life of the church. We will need to bring a little bit of math into the discussion as well, because who doesn't love a good mathematical formula once in a while? I won't ask my wife that. I know many of you are thinking, why do I have to go back and think about school or math? Well, because it's going to help you grow. And because these things we're going to talk about today are things that impact your day and day life. And it's just fun to learn. So yes, we're going to mix Sir Isaac Newton today with the Bible. So let me take a few minutes to explain the principles of mechanics, so that we can use these principles and terms to discuss the church and our Christian walk with God. So buckle up and hang with me here. This is church, but it's with homework. So mechanics, in simple terms, is the physics or the science concerned with the motion of bodies under the action of forces applied to them, including a special case where a body is at rest, where it's not moving. Most of the science of mechanics is based on Isaac Newton's laws of motion, and we're going to talk about the first two of those. The first law says that an object at rest stays at rest, and an object in motion stays in motion with the same speed or velocity in the same direction unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. So think about a car moving at like 35 miles per hour and it's constant. The speed doesn't change. That's what he's talking about. It's constant motion and it's not changing. So the first law of Newton really is referred to the law of inertia. And inertia is simply the resistance to change the motion of an object. Basically, this law means that the object wants to preserve its status quo of motion. And an equation for this is the sum of the forces is equal to zero. And we're going to call this condition being static or in equilibrium. The second law, a little bit different, it's the force acting on an object is equal to the mass of that object multiplied by its acceleration. So the equation for that is the F is equal to ma, mass times acceleration. Okay. Now to get a little nerdy here, Newton's second law really says the force is the instantaneous rate of change of momentum with respect to time. So that's that second equation that's up there. This P is momentum, okay? So the This means the derivative of momentum with respect to time is the force. But we know momentum is actually the mass times the velocity of an object, and that's what that mv is there. So you could also write this equation as the force is equal to the derivative of the mass times the velocity with respect to time. Okay, you sticking with me here? Now, a lot of cases in this real world, mass is constant. So if mass is constant, you can pull it out of that derivative here, and you bring it out in front. So the equation is force is equal to the mass times the differential of velocity with respect to time. And that dv over dt thing is what we call acceleration. And that's where you get your equation, force is equal to ma. Now, if you want to take it a step further, and if you know the position of the object and not the velocity, you could describe the equation as the mass times the second derivative of position with respect to time. Makes your head spin a little bit, right?
This is freshman engineering.
It's freshman in physics and engineering. So, I know it makes your head spin. And some of you are thinking, stop! I think my head's going to explode, right? I was just trying to push you as far as I could to see when you would cry uncle. So some examples of this dynamic condition of force equals ma is like a car, your car accelerating. So when you're at a stop and you start moving forward and picking up speed, that's acceleration. You're moving forward. A person kicking or throwing a ball, when it's at rest there, It's not moving, there's no velocity, but when you kick it, it starts to accelerate and then pick up speed as it moves away from you. Or think of a rocket just sitting on the pad, it's not moving, it's static, but when the engine starts to produce thrust and it pushes it away from the Earth, it starts to accelerate, and that's the dynamic condition. So those are examples that we see in real life. Now, I was kind of a gearhead growing up. I always loved cars and motorcycles and going fast. Luckily, I came through mostly unscathed in my adventures. Gene probably says the song, "I Can't Drive 55," was wrote for me. And I think maybe Roger, maybe Jim have that same issue. This is something that really gets my blood pumping, though. A 2,500-pound nitro-burning fuel funny car sitting on line ready to launch, flames spewing out of its headers with 10,000 horsepower available to propel it once the green light drops. And when that green light drops, it starts to accelerate and it can get to 300 miles per hour in 660 feet, which is just over 2 football field length, in 3 seconds. And it can pull up to 5 G's of acceleration, which is enough for some people to pass out. So that is extreme acceleration when you're on land. Okay, enough for physics. Hopefully you got it. Some of you are asleep, so it's time to wake up now. I'll give you a pop quiz tomorrow. Look for it in the email. Did you write it all down? So what we're going to move on to now and relate these concepts to our Christian walk in the church. So during our discussion, I want you to keep a few questions in your mind. Is my Christian walk with God supposed to be static or dynamic? And where would you consider yourself currently? Is God's church supposed to be static or dynamic or both? And how would you consider Southside at the current time? And if we're not where we should be, what do you think we need to do? So let's start with statics, or things that are not moving. They resist change, and think about some of the parallels between the natural world and how we can relate that to our spiritual and biblical truths. So if I asked you the question, what are some spiritual or biblical things that are static or stable and not changing, what would you say? God's love, not changing. Truth, God's truth is not changing. The Bible. Okay, Bible doesn't change. So the unchanging nature of God, right, his love, his faithfulness towards us, that's his immutability, which means does not change. So just as static objects remain in a state of rest unless acted upon, the Bible reveals that God's unchanging nature and faithfulness do not change. And they can be seen as static in the sense that they are firm, they're stable, they do not change, and they're foundational. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." We're told that Jesus is described as the same today, yesterday, and forever in Hebrews 13, representing the foundation of our faith. It's a constant source of strength and truth in the world that's constantly changing around us. And it's nice to know that we can count on God not changing his ways or his truths or his desires for us. Our Christian faith is built on the unchangeable character of God, his holiness, his love, his faithfulness, which do not change. There are foundational principles in the Bible that can be seen as static or unchanging truths, like we mentioned, that are enduring and they're relevant across all generations. For example, when Jesus was asked what the greatest command was in Matthew 22, he said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." And we know that that is how Jesus lived his life, setting the example for us to follow. We are to love God and to love all of our neighbors. And how do we do that? By following and living the way Jesus lived. Another foundational principle is that to be God's child, we must obey the gospel. The good news that God sent his son, Jesus, to become that unblemished, perfect sacrifice for us to pay for our sins and to redeem us back to God. And we need to accept his grace that he's extended to us through baptism so that we can become his children. And then after that, we must live for him by emulating the life of Jesus in our daily lives. Jesus is our foundation. He's the cornerstone that our faith is built on, and these foundational principles provide a stable framework for our faith, knowing they do not change like shifting sands. So to recap, statics and physics, it's about bodies at rest or resisting or resistance to change. In our spiritual lives, they are the bedrock, the truths we hold that never shift even as the world spins. God doesn't change. He is always faithful. Jesus is our cornerstone, and he remains the same forever. And the greatest commands, love God and love others, never goes out of style. These foundational principles create stability and equilibrium in a chaotic world. They give our faith structure, consistency, and reliability. If we're not anchored in these, we drift. But with them, we're able to move with purpose and not confusion. Shifting to dynamics, or things that are changing or moving due to an external force acting upon them. And that movement can be an acceleration where you go faster, or it can be a deceleration where you start slowing down. So that's a type of change that occurs in those dynamic conditions. So if I asked you, what are things that are dynamic or that change in our spiritual life, how would you respond to that?
Our faith.
Our faith, okay.
Our baptism. How we relate to our society.
Okay, good. Yeah, very good. How we relate to our society, right?
Our outreach, yeah.
Our outreach.
Our love.
Our love. A lot of things, right? Should be dynamic. So while God's character and faithfulness is static or unchanging, the spiritual journey of believers is dynamic and involves continuous growth and transformation. We read about how God transforms and reshapes us as we walk with him. In Ezekiel 36, God says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. Romans 12:2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And Psalms 51, David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. These scriptures point to a transformation of our heart as we seek to walk with God. But to grow and become more spiritually mature requires action or movement on our part. Hebrews 5:12 says this, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. When I think about that, I say, ouch, that one stings a little bit. It's a reminder that growth requires effort on our part. We can't stay on spiritual milk forever. We have to move beyond the basics. We have to dig deeper so that we can grow into spiritual maturity. We can grow through studying and applying God's word in our life. We know that God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is a source of truth, guidance, and transformation, capable of shaping lives and bringing about positive change. It's depicted as a dynamic force, living and powerful. Like a sharp sword that penetrates and discerns our hearts, it actively works to purify and transform us, aligning us to God's will. The Bible reveals a dynamic God who has been actively involved in creation and human history. We see that he interacts and works through individuals to bring about his purposes in the world. And we know that God has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us through each day to help us better understand and do the will of God. God has revealed his mission to us and called to evangelize. And the call to share the gospel and impact the world with godly values and the love of Christ represents a dynamic aspect of our faith involving outward movement and engagement with our culture and the world around us. We can't just sit on our hands at home and expect the world to be able to see who we worship and who we serve. So here's the dynamic side of faith. Just like an object in motion It responds to external forces acting on it. Our spiritual life grows as God acts within us. Ezekiel spoke of a heart transplant, a transformation that only God could do. Romans tells us that we need to renew our minds, and Hebrew gives us a loving jab to stop sipping the milk and go grab some solid food. God, growth isn't optional, and it isn't always comfortable. But it's necessary if we're going to resemble Jesus more every day. God's word is alive, it cuts, it shapes, and guides us. Are we still growing, or are we resisting motion? Growth isn't passive, it's movement led by His Spirit. So getting back to the questions I proposed earlier about, are we supposed to be a static or dynamic in our Christian walk, or as a church at Southside? Being grounded in God's foundational truths and growing and maturing with the help of the Spirit sounds so simple and straightforward, but in reality, it can be hard and difficult at times. Every one of us is walking a personal spiritual path, and if we're honest, it's not always steady or smooth. Sometimes we soar, sometimes we slump. We feel forces pull us from both sides, God urging growth and transformation on one side pulling us, and then the world and evil tempting us to resist change and not do anything, pulling us the other direction. Unfortunately, there are times where forces of evil will make us accelerate or move away from God. This slide here is kind of a metaphor of our walking in the light with God and how we may be growing, but it's not always a straight line up. In fact, we have highs and lows. Sometimes we regress or plateau out. But if we continue walking with God during these times and turn towards Him, then we know that the blood of Jesus is covering us. Life pulls us in many directions, but our goal is to stay between God's lines, walking in His light, moving upward, even when the terrain is rough. The real question is, when was the last time you felt movement in your spiritual life? When did you last stretch or grow towards God? The same principle we've been talking about can be applied to the collective Southside Church's walk with God. Where are we in this journey as a church? Are we at a high, a low? Have we plateaued out? Have we joined God in His mission, or are we on a different path? The church should have a static foundation rooted in God's unchanging truth and a dynamic mission that is responsive to the Spirit's leading and the needs of the world around us. Paul said that he became all things to all people to reach the lost in 1 Corinthians 9. The core message stayed the same, but the methods adapted and changed as they went from place to place. Sadly, many churches are on the brink of closing today. Maintaining a balance of cherished traditions and adapting to a rapidly evolving culture is a continuous challenge faced by all churches today. Tradition can provide a sense of connection to the past, offering comfort and stability and rich legacy. But our evolving culture and changing world require adapting and embracing new ways to share the gospel, to engage those who are seeking, and to remain a relevant part of the community around us. Successfully navigating this dynamic should help the church thrive and fulfill its mission that God has called us to do. So a challenge question for Southside: are we clinging to tradition for tradition's sake, or are we allowing God to reshape our mission and methods? We know from the Bible that God's primary desire is for the heart of obedience, mercy, and genuine relationship. In Hosea 6, it says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Psalms 51, David says, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." And Micah 6 that we read earlier reminds us of what God truly desires from us: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God is not impressed by rituals or traditions alone. He wants hearts that reflect His character. I'm going to make an observation that some may not agree with. But I feel that the Spirit put this on my heart to talk about it so that we can think about it, we can reflect about it, and we can pray on it. And I hope that you'll at least consider these things. I don't think God is focused on whether we do church right, meaning the corporate worship. As he proclaimed to the Israelites time and again, and Jesus refers to it in the gospel writings as well, that he's not interested in making sure all the rituals were done right and all the traditions were upheld. He is most concerned about our hearts and our attitudes toward him and towards others. Are we showing love and mercy to others? And are we acting justly and walking humbly with God? In other words, are we living our lives like Jesus would live? This is what God wants from us. And I would argue that that is what his main story in the Bible is all about. Have we, the churches that came out of the American Restoration movement, forgotten that? I believe we have in many ways. We focus on how we are different, and then we try to show that we are applying the Word of God correctly by using a hermeneutic, or how we interpret the Bible, that takes Scripture through a very rigorous filtering process where we try to find a specific command or an apostolic example that we can turn into a command, and then we make inferences and call some of them necessary and what something has to mean based on the context, and then we try to split it out of things that must have only applied in the first century and which one should be applied for all time universally. Quite frankly, this seems to be overly complicated and confusing. Did God make his word that difficult to interpret and understand? A couple of examples to bring this out. We say that women covering their heads to pray and prophesy in the church was only for the specific example Paul was talking to the Corinthians about, and not for us today. But then we say something else Paul tells them in the exact same letter, that it is universal for all time. A more visual example might be, we say that we are commanded to sing together as a body during worship service, but we can only do it with a song leader and not a praise team. But there's no command that we have that we always sing together, and there is no example of song leaders in the first century church. So the question is, what is the proper way that we should sing in our corporate worship? At times we want to bind these types of things on others, and if they don't do it the way we think it should be done, we say they are not following what God wants. As a result, there have been hundreds of divisions and splits of the churches that came out of the Restoration movement. And is that what the Bible really teaches, though? Maybe our hermeneutic, how we interpret the Bible, needs to change some. Maybe the main message of the letters in the New Testament is to try to get the followers of Jesus to live and love more like Jesus lived and be in unity with one another, so that they could be the example and the light in the world that God wanted them to be, to bring people to God. Let's tread gently but truthfully here. Tradition, when rooted in love and purpose, can strengthen, but when it becomes a rigid filter for interpreting God's word, we risk mistaking preference for principle. Some of our inherited practices, whether how we sing or how we dress or how we do church, aren't anchored necessarily in Jesus. They're more anchored in inferences, cultural norms, or leadership preferences and biases from decades ago. And Scripture repeatedly reminds us that God is after our hearts, not our rituals and our traditions. Micah, Hosea, David, and others said it plainly. God desires mercy, justice, and humility. So maybe our question isn't, are we doing church right? Maybe it's, are we living like Jesus would live in our culture today? Are we building fences or are we building bridges? I'm losing my voice. I'm not saying this is true, but something that we need to ponder and pray about. Now, Southside embraced spiritual motion, or if we settled into tradition so deeply that we no longer move with the Spirit? And are we stuck in a comfort zone? Churches are meant to be living bodies, not historical statues. Are we breathing, growing, and loving actively, or have we become static, clinging to what feels safe while the world around us changes? This isn't an indictment on Southside. It's an invitation for us to really consider and change where needed. What forces are shaping our momentum? Churches must evolve, not to chase trends, but to stay responsive to the Spirit. Are we moving with purpose or just repeating ritual? This isn't a choice between truth or growth. It's about living in balance. Just as nature strikes a balance between static and dynamic conditions, we as Christians and as a church need to strike a right balance as well. So in the midst of life's changes, believers can find stability, consistency, and peace by anchoring themselves to God's unchanging truth and his promises that he gives to us in his Bible, in the Word. This involves trusting in his wisdom and his sovereignty, even when circumstances are uncertain. While finding stability in God, believers are also called to embrace the dynamic process of spiritual growth and change, allowing God's Word and the Spirit's daily prompting to refine them. This means being open to new insights and adapting one's understanding of God and faith as one matures. A healthy Christian life requires both a firm foundation and static biblical truths rooted in God's unchanging Word and active engagement in the dynamic process of living out one's faith, being responsive to the Holy Spirit's guidance, ready to step forward and evolve to meet the needs of a changing world. Let's be a church that honors tradition but moves with purpose. Let's be Christians who stand firm and still stretch forward to adapt to our changing world. So we've talked today about mechanics, motion, resistance, acceleration, and even some crazy formulas. But here's the spiritual formula for you. Act justly plus love with mercy plus live humbly equals movement towards God and his will. Today's lesson isn't just physics. It's all about love in action. Let's stop analyzing and start living like Jesus. That's what God wanted all along. Micah says it plainly. Act justly, show mercy, and walk humbly with God. God isn't after fancy offerings and traditions. He wants honest hearts that act with justice and love with mercy. Rituals matter a lot less than relationships to God. Living like Jesus, that's the real mission. So are we being static Christians, or